Thank you, Brother Goodwin. It is good to be back in Kansas State Holiness Camp. Man, and we've enjoyed the other two times that we have been here, and we're enjoying it already this time. Thank you, Brother Goodwin, for the invitation. Thank you, Brother King, for the messages thus far. I had never met him nor heard him preach, but I thank the Lord for the truth that he has brought already. And I did happen to know Brother Case, and heard him preach, and thank the Lord for his ministry, and trust the Lord will continue to help both of these brothers as we continue to minister for the Lord. Always good to be with the Quails. The last time we were here, we were with the Quails, and I always appreciate that. We go back into the other century, I think, as our brother was saying, that they were here in another century. I wasn't here with them in the other century, but we did go to Bible school together. And again, I did go to Bible school too. I know I just had to throw that in. The other two guys went, so I thought I would inform you that I had too, because you probably won't catch on to that. You probably haven't caught that yet, but amen. And we are grateful for each and every one that is here. Most of all, we are grateful for our great, big, wonderful God. Man, we live in tremendous days, but we serve a tremendous God. The devil would love for us to just kind of tuck tail and run, but I'm telling you, I believe that God has great things for us if we would just do what he wants us to do. Amen. I say praise the Lord and trust the Lord to help us. Shall we stand, please? Like to just lift out just a part of a verse, a very familiar part of verse found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse number 26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for thy presence that we have sensed in this encampment and even in the service once again tonight. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we look into thy word. Would you give us the direction that each one of us need? And in your precious name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. They tell us that years ago, under the rule of the great Alexander, that one day they brought in a young man. He was only 15 years of age. My understanding is they brought him in. He had his head kind of bowed low, and his step was slow, and they kind of pushed him and hurried him along. And finally, he was standing before Alexander. As he is standing there before Alexander, Alexander looked at the ones that brought him in and said, "What is the accusation? What is he accused of?" And they said, "He ran. It's time for battle." And in the midst of that, he took off running the other direction away from the enemy. You could just see Alexander begin to bristle for a few moments, and then he got a hold of himself and he calmed down and he looked at the young man and he said, "What is your name?" The young man, a little encouraged that he would just speak to him, he said, "My name is Alexander." When he said that, Alexander the Great came out of his seat, grabbed that young man, took him across, picked him up, and shoved him against a pillar. And he said, "Young man, you either change your ways or change your name." And tonight I would like to talk to us for just a few moments on the line of Christian. We all, or no doubt most of us tonight, profess to be Christians, and I trust that we are. And if we're not, I want to tell you tonight, you can be a Christian. I am glad for the grace of God and the precious blood of Jesus Christ that it does not matter what sin we have been involved in, does not matter what we have done, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ will atone for our sins. You say, "But preacher, we live in a different day. The sins of our day are gross. It's the depths of sin." That might be, but I am glad for the precious blood that still cries out, "My blood God has gone further and deeper than the stain of any sin tonight. So many times we want to look on and say, how in the world could those individuals ever come out of that? How in the world could those individuals ever be forgiven tonight? I want to tell you, God is still forgiving. You say, but preacher, some of them know better. That might be, but all of us knew better, or a lot of us knew better than some of the things we did. But I'm glad for a God that one day saved this little preacher's boy. I was raised in the parsonage. I knew better than some of the things that I did. But I was glad for a faithful God that continued to deal with my heart until I came to Him, and He forgave me of all of my sin, and all of my sin are gone and gone forever. I say praise His a wonderful name. But tonight, a Christian, oh, that the Lord would help us not just to take that name, but to live that individuals will see that we are a Christian. It's easy to say that we're a Christian. It's easy for sometimes people to say, well, they're a Christian, but oh, that the Lord would help us. Lord, help me to live in such a way that individuals won't have to be told, but they'll say, he's a Christian. There's something different about him. In between my last two pastorates, where I am now, I've only been there almost a year, to be a year next month. And in between those, we were doing some meetings, but also I worked at a place of employment. It's a heavy-duty truck garage. They also do heavy-duty recovery, semi-trucks, rollovers, and so on and so forth on I-80 in the state of Pennsylvania. It was kind of a different place to work. I was their parts manager, ordered all the parts in for all the trucks as they would work on them. Would go out and help him clean up rollovers and crashes and whatever else. Youngest son, he still works there running a wrecker. But I'll never forget as I went into that place, and I'm not here to condemn, etc. But I'll never forget as I went into that, the owner of that place professed to be a Christian. Sat on the board of a so-called holiness church. But he chewed snuff, cussed like a sailor, living in adultery, lie like a rug. You couldn't believe a thing the man said. I could go on and the things that he done. But I thought as some of those guys, the foreman of that business, now is the owner sold out to him. Never forget as I would think about working there and was working there, I used to think, Lord, Kenny doesn't hardly know a thing about you. Kenny has never hardly been in church. Didn't grow up in church. Didn't know the things of God. And I thought, oh, Lord, they know that I'm a minister. Both of my boys had worked there. As I said, my one son still works there. Some of them had been to our church for revival and other times. And I thought, oh, Lord, as I went that direction and that place of employment, I'll never forget, some of them would kind of hold me at arm's length because I was a preacher. They were very careful of the language that they would use around me. They would try to keep their tongue and so on and so forth. But you know, my cry was, Lord, don't let them just see something different in me because they know that I'm a preacher. But oh God, let me live in such a way in front of these ungodly men that they'll say, it's not just that he's a preacher, but oh, there's something different about him. Not just he doesn't cuss, not he just doesn't lie, but oh, that my very attitude and the deportment about the way that I handle myself will be in such a way, Lord, that it'll bring honor and glory to you. And oh, that is my heart's cry. And that's my heart's cry where I pastor, etc. And no, Lord, not that they just respect me because I happen to be their pastor, but let me live in such a way before them that they'll say he is a Christian. Not that he's just a preacher, not that he's just a pastor, but that there is something different about him. Oh, that the Lord would help us in this day and age. And I'm not here to scold tonight, but I'm here to challenge us. Folks, let us live. Oh God, help us to live in a way that is pleasing to you, that people will see there is something different. No, not the way we dress. Yes, we need to dress different. No, not just the way we talk. We need to talk different, but just something about us. I believe God wants to do that, and I believe God does help each one of us to live that way. But I want to challenge you this evening. I want to take some of those letters. I won't get through the whole word of a Christian tonight, but I want to look at the first letter, and that is the letter C. And that is the fact that God wants us not to be cowards, but courageous. We're living in a day and age that's easy to run from the battle if we're not careful. It's easy to run from the things that are going on in our nation and in the church world. But oh, that God would help us to be courageous. I'll never forget as I pastored at Harkers Island, North Carolina, living there on the coast and had a boat. I had never run a boat before until I moved down there. And I had, I ended up, I think, with three different ones while I lived there. As you know, if you remember, I've told you before, I can't swim. The only way I know how to swim is like a rock. And I'm better than a rock because I can get to the bottom of the ocean quicker than it can. I don't know how to swim. But I did learn one thing. And that was, is that in the midst of a storm, and we got caught in the storms. If you remember, I told about the storms when we were when we lived down there. Got caught in a storm, 65-mile-an-hour winds out there on Pamlico Sound in a 19.5-foot cuddy cabin, and we were there. But one thing that I learned, and that is you always anchor off the bow in a storm. In other words, you face it. Now, if you can get away from it, you get away from it. But a lot of times you can't, and we weren't getting away from this one. I mean, it had already caught us, and the only thing we could do was anchor off and face that storm. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. I realize that we live in tremendous days, all of the things that are going on in the political scene and in our government. But I want to tell you something. God wants us to be courageous. It would be the easiest thing. Well, where's the closest cave? Let's go hide, and so on. But that's not what God wants us to do. God's people need to face the storm. And there are storms all over. I may preach on it before I'm done in this encampment, but God expects us to face the situations that you and I face in this day and age. If you will look, the Bible tells us what to put on the whole armor of God. And what does the armor cover? The front. The front. That's why Alexander was upset with little Alexander is in the midst of the battle. He took off running. That is the easiest way to get killed, is to take off running. The easiest way to get killed in a boat is when the storm hits you, is to turn and try and run. Because the stern of a boat is not made for the storm. The stern of the boat is only for the power. What is the bow for? It is to face the storm and to face all of the waves and the opposition and the wind that comes your direction. And I believe that God wants us to do the very same thing in this day and age, and that is to face the storm. You know, it's easy sometimes for us to face the storm when it's out there. It's easy to face the storm. Sometimes it's easy to face the storm when it's on a political level. Why? Because we're not into politics. It's easy to say, well, they ought not to be doing that. They ought not to be doing this. And I agree with that. But you know where the real issues come is when we face it right inside the four walls of the church. That's where you will find out where a person really stands, is when it comes inside the four walls of the church and things begin to happen. The easiest thing to do is tuck tail and run if we're not careful. Especially if we are of the personality that we don't like to fight. Now, I don't know about you, but I just don't like arguments and fights. I only lost one fight in school, and that's when I fell down going around the corner. That's not my personality. Now, when it comes to certain things, I know it probably don't make sense to you, but I just was not the boxing type. Now, I like to wrestle. I like to play football, and I like to tackle football, and the rougher it got, the more I liked it. But I knew that they weren't going to hurt me, and if I thought they were, I knew how to block somebody else. Huh? I'm not the fighting type in the one sense. But I want to tell you something. I believe that God has helped me when it comes to that which is right and in the church world, is to take a stand. You know, one of the easiest things, and that is preachers, it's easy. It's easy for us to stand up front and say certain things, isn't it? But it's another thing when it's in the church and on the board meeting. Huh? It's another thing when we're sitting on the board and now we're facing it. It's easy to stand behind a pulpit stand and say, this is wrong and that's wrong, and we ought not to be doing this and we ought not to be doing that. But then when it comes inside the four walls of the church, it's amazing how we get just a little bit shy. Huh? You know, it's another thing that's always amazed me too, and that is the fact there's a lot of people that take a stand against things until their kids get involved in it. And then when the little kiddies grow up and they start getting involved in things, it's amazing how some people start backpedaling. Well, folks, if it's in the Word, it's in the Word. And God help us in this day and age. I believe that God wants us as Christians not to be cowards and run, but to be courageous. Little David did. He didn't take off running. Neither did the three Hebrew children. They stood for what is right. Lord, help us in this day and age to stand for what is right. The letter A. I believe that God doesn't want us to be filled with hypocrisy, but with honesty. You know, it's amazing the hypocrisy that's in our world, all the way from the political scene right on down through. I mean, have you ever seen a day where in the secular world there was so much hypocrisy? You can't hardly believe a thing of what someone really believes or stands for anything else in this day and age. Why? Because they're not really being honest with you where they are. Lord, help us in this day and age. God wants us to be honest in this day that you and I live. And I believe that God will help us if we will just be honest. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to be and act like something that we are not. But he wants us to be honest. You know, we might as well be honest with God because he already knows anyhow. You know, but yet there's times that he wants us to tell him what he already knows. Now, there's some people that like to tell God some things, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about go back into the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit. What did God do? He come down and said, Adam, where art thou? Was God clueless? Absolutely not. He knew exactly where they were, for he also knew what they had done. What he wanted is he wanted them to admit where they were. And you know, that's all God wants out of you and I, is just to admit where we are. And if we have a problem tonight, folks, the best thing we can do is just admit to it. The sooner we admit to it, the quicker we'll get it over with. You know, I just like honesty. It's one of the things that I used to tell my children when they were still at home, and that is don't lie to Dad. Just don't lie to me. I might not like what you did, and if I ask you, just tell me yes or no. Don't get arrogant about it, but be honest with me. Why? Because I don't like dishonesty. Just tell me if you did it or you didn't. Because I used to tell them, if I find out later that you lied to me, now you're in double trouble. Why? You say, oh, but wait a minute. If you lied to me, you have two things wrong now. And one of them is lying. Don't lie to me. Just tell me. And you know what? I believe that's the way God wants us to be. Again, he knows all about us. He knows everything about us. And he wants us just to be honest in this day and age. I don't know about you, but I just wish we'd have an old-fashioned revival of honesty and start in the church. Start in the church. You know, so many times we want and so on. We expect the world to straighten up. But you know what? If we expect the world to straighten up, we're going to have to straighten up first. For revival starts in the church world. Revival starts in the four walls of the church. And Lord, help us in this day and age to be honest of what we really are. Well, I must hurry on. We not only see the letter C and H, but we also see the letter R. I believe that God does not want us as Christians to be rude people. I just feel that way. You say, oh, preacher, you know, no, I don't think God wants us to be rude. I don't think he is. God's not rude to me. No, you know who's rude to me? The devil. Isn't it? Yeah, the devil's the one that comes around and makes all kind of false accusations to me. The devil's the one that accuses me of stuff all the time. God never does. God never accuses me of something unless I have done something wrong. And then he brings it to me and he tells me not only what I've done wrong, but he always gives me a remedy. Aren't you glad for that? You know, it's amazing the people that can tell you what you did wrong, but they never have a remedy for it. Huh? Or they can tell you you need to be doing this, but they never help you do it. Huh? Oh, but in this day and age, Lord, help us not to be rude people, but help us to be kind and consider. What? I believe we need to be respectful. And Lord, help us in this day and age. Lord, help me not to be a rude person. One of the things, and there's times I'm sure that I've come across wrong, but it's one of the things that I've asked God over and over and over again, and that is, and especially when I'm up front preaching, is, Lord, don't let me be rude. Don't let me be rude. But Lord, help me to be kind, compassionate, considerate. You know, I've seen some that when they got done preaching, they were upset because someone met them at the back door, and that person kind of got in their face and was rude. And the preacher's like, "Oh, I can't believe they talked to me that way." Sometimes I felt I haven't done it, but there's been times, Brother Quails, I felt like very kindly slipping up to them and put my arm around them and say, "Sir, the reason they were rude at the back is because you was rude up front." I know that doesn't go over well in the holiness movement, but still, folks, we have to be careful of the way we come across. I'm not talking about soft peddling, etc., but Lord, don't let me be rude, but help me to be respectful, to be respectful to people. People do have feelings. People have feelings, and sometimes if we're not careful, we can run over top of them. But also, all of us have to be careful, just not preachers. The reason I start with preachers, I feel that we need to set the example. And then all that, if people, can I ask the question, if people acted like me, would I think they were rude? Or would I say, you know, they're respectful, they're kind. They disagree with me, but they're so kind about it. When they approach me, they're considerate of my feelings. There's nothing wrong with being considerate of someone's feelings. Well, preacher, that's compromise. It is. I don't believe it is. I believe that God wants us as Christians to be respectful of one another. I have said, if I want my children to be respectful of me, my children need to see how I respect my parents. I really do. I think if I demand respect out of my children, they need to see that even though I would disagree with one of my parents, my precious mother is gone. She has slipped away a couple years ago. But as I think, as my children look on, Lord, help me, even though that I might disagree with my parents, and now if I would disagree with my father, that they would see dad doesn't agree with his dad, but he's still respectful to his father the way he talks to him. Yes, I'm 52 years old. My dad doesn't come and try and run my life nor my church. But yet, I want to be respectful to him. He's still my dad. And then I've also made the comment, and that is if I expect my church to respect me as a pastor, they need to see that I respect my conference leaders. I can't expect them to respect me more than I respect those that are in authority over me. I know I'm getting kind of quiet, but you know, there's sometimes I've learned a long time ago, Brother Quails, is when I get quiet like this, people listen more. I get to bouncing off the wall sometimes, and you know, sometimes I do. I thought of when Brother Goodwin said something about they were just live streaming the audio. One of the last camps I preached it last year, they said, man, said, we can't follow that guy. Said, he's boom, we have to watch him the whole time. Said, if not, he disappears on us. Well, I know sometimes I'm that way, but then other times, the Lord just has me kind of get calm like this, because it's amazing how people listen to what I have to say.
And I'm not here scolding tonight, but I want to challenge us. Help us to be respectful. And me as a minister, Lord, help me to be respectful, not only to my parents, but those leaders over me. Doesn't mean I have to agree with everything they say and do. But you know, can I just throw this out? This isn't in my notes, as our brother said earlier. But you know, I've happened to sit in places, etc., where in leadership, where some decisions have to be made and some things of that nature. And I've learned a long time ago that sometimes you have to make decisions and you have to make rulings and you have to do certain things, but you can't tell everyone why you did it. Because you just can't stand up and say, because Sally did this, we're making this rule. It's not a wise thing to do. So there's sometimes you have to make some rules that people don't quite understand. And I learned after sitting in those positions, I'm like, you know, the Lord has helped me to be a little even more respectful to those that are in authority over me, realizing that they've had to make some rules that I don't understand, and they don't need to tell me every little reason why they did it. Well, Lord, help us to be respectful. Help all of us to be respectful, and no matter what position we are in life, there are those that we must respect. But you know, and then I'll try and hurry on, we not only need to be respectful of those in authority over us, but we also need to be respectful in those that are under us, whether it's in the church or outside of the church. If we're an employer or foreman or whatever else, you know, one of the things that people need to see is, no, he expects us to work. He expects us to work hard. He expects us to do our things, but yet he's respectful of us as individuals. He respects me as an individual. Hurrying on to the letter I, and that is, I don't believe that God always wants us to be informers. You ever had an informer in your church? Oh, I have. It's amazing the people that have come and try and inform me of everything that happened before I got there. You know, wait a minute. Let's bury the bones and leave them buried. This preacher don't dig up old bones. I learned a long time ago just to leave some things alone. Yeah, but preacher, isn't he? No. There's just some things. It's really none of my business, and I'd rather I didn't know anything about it. You know, and that's one of the things that is in evangelism. I never liked to hear anything about the church. I just didn't like to hear anything about it. Why? That way I could just preach. I could just preach whatever God laid on my heart to preach. You know, because the devil loves to let sometimes we find some things out. You can't help it. You see things or whatever. And then he loves to beat preachers up. If you don't say something, you're a coward. And if you do say something, you're mean. Maybe some of you guys don't go through that, but I do. Why? Because the devil just loves to do whatever he can to stir up and discourage the ministry. But I'm just not the type. I don't like to know everything that's going on. And you know, I've pastored a few. And you know, it doesn't take me too long to figure out who their informers are. Why? Because they inform me that they're the informer. Just by some of the things they tell me. I'm like, you know, I'm scratching my head and I'm like, that's really none of my business. I really don't care. I wished I didn't even know anything about it. But you know, some people just love to be the informer. I've pastored some individuals and maybe you think this is wrong, but I've pastored some that when they ask me why so-and-so's not in church, I don't even tell them. Why? I'd say, well, they're not here today. Why? Because I know all they're going to do is inform the rest of the church. And I just look at it this way. If someone's not in church, it's their place to tell everyone, not the informer of the church. Huh? You say, oh, preacher, this is so elementary. Well, you know what? A lot of us live in the elementary. Why? Lord, help us in this day and age to be careful not to be the informer. I ask you tonight, not accusing a soul, but are you the informer? Anything happens, you got to tell everyone else. You got to, you know, whether it's whatever level it happens to be. You know, there's some people that are that way at work. I mean, they know everything that's going on the workforce. They know everything. They know exactly what this one done. They know who gets paid this amount and who gets how much this one makes and how much that one makes. Like what one guy said, he had the rule. He said, you don't discuss your pay. He said, if you do discuss your pay, I'll fire you. And he fired his own wife. I'm sure that went over like a lead balloon. What are you saying, preacher? I'm not saying we can never discuss things, but folks, if we're not careful, there's some people that's all they do. They just want to know this so they can go tell someone else, and they want to find this out so they can go tell someone else. And you know what? If there's anything that is so discord and problems in the workforce, is the informer. Because they make sure that everyone knows about this and that. And you know, that's tough work in those kind of situations. I've learned, my one son worked in a particular place of business, etc. And there was one guy that he happened to work with. And that guy, and I finally just looked at my son and I said, son, I want to tell you something. I said, all he's doing is he's coming around trying to pump everything out of you so that he can go rat. I said, you'd better be careful what you say. I could see his look on his face that he wasn't quite sure. I think he thought, oh, Dad, you know, I'm old school. You got to remember, my kids think I'm as old as rocks. They think that I had a pet dinosaur as a kid. I mean, they think that I was born before, while the Dead Sea was still alive. They just think all that stuff about me. I'm old. And so I could tell he just wasn't quite swollen at all. But finally, his eyes were opened. And finally, they fired the guy. All he did was go from one and inform this one of that and this one of that and this one of that. You know, that's a tough situation in the workforce. But you know, it's really tough in the church world when people do that. I really don't think that when we're Christians, we want to be the informer of everything. I think we need a good old-fashioned dose of being an introvert in the holiness movement when it comes to what's going on. I really do. If we would learn to just keep our... Now, I realize, and I don't want sometimes some conscientious people, when you deal with these kinds of things, they have a struggle. I realize there's times that we have to deal with things. There's sometimes that we must say something. There's sometimes we may need to go to the pastor. There's sometimes we may need to go to some leader. I understand that. I'm not at all trying to say there's not a place for certain things. But you know, there's sometimes it's just not the place for us to say anything. The best thing we can do is zip this up until we get in the secret place of prayer and then tell God on them and see what he says. He might just say, that's all right, son, you keep praying. I'm working. Oh, that the Lord would help us in this day and age. I believe that we could need, and we need some help in this area of just learning to be quiet. I'll never forget one situation. You don't even try and guess. You'll not figure it out. But I was in this one place and happened to walk into a camp meeting. And I met this guy for the first time. He happened to be a preacher. Actually, he was an evangelist. Believe at the time. First time I ever met him. I heard of him, but I had never, ever met him. And I'm standing there with someone else and another preacher, and him and I were talking and back and forth, and this guy came up and he introduced himself and we introduced ourselves. I don't think my preacher friend had known him either. We weren't there but a few minutes. I mean, this guy just introduces himself and he starts telling us about someone else. I just kind of looked at him. I didn't do anything, but I just kind of looked at him. I probably should have, but he was a lot older than me. He's probably almost old enough to be my dad. And I just was like, what? Sir, I don't even know you. And here you are telling me this stuff? I don't really want to know. You know, there's just sometimes that I've just had to excuse myself. I was sitting at a particular place and something came up. And these two individuals needed to discuss something because they were in positions where they needed to deal with a particular issue. But I'll just be honest with you, when they started, and I was a fellow minister, and et cetera, when they started, I just quietly excused myself and I left. I'm like, I don't want to know. I'm not in a position to know. I'm not in a position to deal with it. It's none of my business. And I just got up and walked away. You say, oh, preacher, that's, no. I just think that, Brother Case, if we would just learn to be a little more careful what we say. As a Christian, I wonder what God would do for us in the holiness movement. You say, preacher, that's really not that necessary. I'm afraid it is. I'm afraid, and I say this kindly, and I'm going to bring this to a close, but I'm afraid that the tongue is one of the things that has killed us in the church world. Well, preacher, it's true. Might be. But does it need to be told? Does it need to be told? Sometimes, just remember, there's sometimes not everything is the way that it appears. There's just sometimes, well, but I was there. I understand that. Well, I was involved. I understand that. But there's still times that something may be just a little bit different than the way it looks to us. And my cry is, Lord, help me to be careful. I'd rather be an introvert and someone say, well, he's not very talkative, than for them to say that's all he does is run his mouth. It's all right to be talkative, and I can be very talkative, and sometimes I probably talk too much. I like to have a good time. I like to joke around. I like to do things. But you know, I just hope the Lord helps me that when it comes to things about people, that I'm very careful what I say. I want to be as careful about what I say about somebody else as I'd want them to be about me. As I want them to be about me. You say, preacher, is that scriptural? Yeah, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Lord, there's just some things it's not my place to say anything to anyone. And so help me to know when I need to just be quiet. Lord, help me to live in such a way. Not preach or talk necessarily in such a way, but Lord, help me to live in such a way that people will say, he's a Christian. I don't want God, Brother Quails, to grab me by the nape of the neck, so to speak, and pin me up against the wall and say, either change your ways or change your name. I want to live in such a way that when they say, what are you? That when I say Christian, God doesn't bristle or get upset, but he says, he is. He is. Why? Because he's not a coward, but he's courageous. He's not a hypocrite, but what you see is what you get. He's not rude, even though he may have to deal with things, even though he may have to deal with issues in his preaching or on a one-to-one basis, but he's never rude. He's kind. He's never condoned my sin. He's never condoned my sin, but he's never been rude to me either. And oh, that God would say, yeah, if you want to just talk about the weather and this and this and that, he'd talk an iron leg off of a brass monkey. But when it comes to talking about somebody else, he's very careful and he chooses his words. If you just want to talk about deer hunting, I'll talk. You want to talk about fishing? I'll talk. I've had the privilege of fishing off the Pacific. I've had the privilege of fishing in the Caribbean. Had the privilege of fishing in the Atlantic and fished in all kind of other places. You want to talk about fishing? We'll talk. But if you want to bring up about Brother Case, I think we need to change the subject. You want to talk about Brother King? I just think we need to change the subject. Let me become an introvert. I just use these two men. I'm anyone. Lord, help us in this day and age. Lord, if they accused me of being a Christian, would you say the accusation is accurate? Or Lord, would you say he needs to change his name? Tonight, I trust that all of us are living up to the name Christian. If you're not, God will help us, for he will help each one of us to live the way a Christian ought to. Thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you. Shall we stand? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you at the close of this service, we're asking that you would help each one of us. Lord, help us not only be a Christian by name, but let it be by the way we live, that the world may see there is something different about them. And Father, for what you do for us, we'll do our best to give you praise, for we ask it in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.